Off the Ball Rugby.
And he phoned his mum and dad the night before the game and called them mummy and daddy. And I thought at that point, this game's not for you, son. True story.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
Evan Ferguson, great opportunity last night.
West Ham, 2-0 winners over Leicester. You were watching bits and pieces of this. I saw the Ferguson chance as well. Gilt-edged, you could call it.
Two scrappy goals to nil. And there's disappointed Evan Ferguson wasn't starting the game, but like West Ham are flying it with their attacking third at the moment in terms of the performance. Mm. Just off the back of the Arsenal win as well. That was Arsenal's first home defeat of the season, actually, when they lost to West Ham. So I wasn't that surprised that he wasn't playing, but I thought at home to Leicester, geez, he'd make hay here now if he was starting. And he had an opportunity when he came on. And I guess the Evan Ferguson of the start of last season with Brighton and even with the Republic of Ireland, he would have been a shoo-in to score that. It was just that extra touch he takes. He controls it inside the box. It's a good angle for a right footer as well. And he just takes that extra touch. And it goes to show it's all a mental game, Shane. You know, a confident boy puts that away or at least gets a shot off. But like, when you've no confidence as a striker, you take so many touches that you'd still be taking touches now if the game was still on this morning, because you want that perfect setup to unleash a shot. Hopefully it'll happen for him. It's early days. He's missed an awful lot of football as well. That's the other thing. It's not like he was on the bench and not coming on for Brighton. Like, he was unavailable a lot of the time. So he's only getting back to us. He'll be a bit patient with him. And hopefully he'll get his opportunity. But the only thing about this time of the season, like, the gap widens between games. It spreads out now with the domestic cup competitions finishing, or if you're out, so fewer opportunities if fellas don't get injured.
One of those chances where the striker, almost to use the cliche, had too much time potentially. Like, Bowen plays him in, and
I think the ball was, and you know what, anyone play ball would have been in this situation where the ball comes to you weirdly between your legs, and you're not quite sure which way to start it, and that's what does that take? That's like 3/4 of a second, and that's all you need in the Premier League. Like, fellas will take it off you. I was interested to hear Robbie Savage in commentary on TNT. He was saying, you know, people tell me all the time that, like, the game is so much better now and I wouldn't last at all in this game. It's too fast. And he was like,
people tell me all the time.
But he was like,
just remind me all the time.
He was looking at the midfield yesterday, and in the second half, West Ham had bundles of time on the ball. Leicester weren't pressing them at all. And he was like, this would never have happened in my time. You never get this much time on the ball in midfield. And it was an interesting point. Because look, Robbie Savage, much maligned. And both, you know, as a pundit and probably as a player too, in the way he played. But like, it is an interesting talking point, at least, that like, you do see players get a little bit more time in the middle of the pitch in the Premier League now than the chaotic nature of it 20 years ago. But the argument for it is that there's just better players now and they make space for themselves. And it's just slightly different tactically, which is where the kind of interesting point comes in. I heard him out. I heard Savage's point.
You would tend to have an extra man in there as well. Like, he would have spent most of the time, I suppose, playing in a two.
I see, I think it was 4-4-2 and it was man for man, and it was hectic and frantic, and it was culture that if I lost you a half time, I'm getting balled out of it. Like, whereas it's more sophisticated now, and you can probably hide a little bit more, which is where the Roy Keane comments in this week came. You can tell a bluffer and a tackle. The bluffer and a tackle would go up, but oh, it's not, oh, I can't get them, it's not my man. And you seem to press as a collective now rather than the man for man 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But the game has changed. Like, I was talking about this with them. Remember, I asked Jonathan Wilson a few weeks ago, and someone online saying, oh, the Premier League's not as good as it was. It was way more interesting 20 years ago. But nostalgia makes everything better. Yeah. Everything was better in the past, right? Because you were just happier in the past. That's what you actually mean, right? But Jonathan Wilson was like, no. He's like, Bolton versus Stoke was a tough watch 20 years ago. Mm. Now the mean, the average, is like, you have like a Bournemouth playing excellent football. Fulham are a really good side under Marco Silva. The job that Glasner's doing at Crystal Palace, it's like there's good players pepper all over the teams. The only problem the league has is that like there's probably 17 established teams now. That's the only, that's the
problem. Yeah.
It's interesting. It's really interesting, because as yours, I think as well, I think a massive thing is you're seeing way more now than you ever did then. Like, you would have watched, like, if you go back then, you'd have seen maybe 2 games a weekend tops.
Super Sunday, yeah.
That's it. Like, you weren't seeing anymore. You see highlights in Match of the Day, whatever else. Like, but you're not getting them on YouTube. You're not getting highlights anywhere else until you're catching them on, like, news bulletins or that's whatever else.
If you missed it, you missed it. You heard about it.
Yeah.
It is, when you think about all our favourite players or players that we were drawn to when we were growing up, like, you're right. Like we probably didn't see them an awful lot. Like, but we came to a conclusion about them. Like, you try to replicate them when you go out and play, but you're only seeing certain elements of it. And kids coming through now, like you say, they can just search any highlights package they want of any player. Whereas we just went about what we saw right then and there, and you might remember a piece of skill, but really you're watching a player play,
yeah,
and you might not see him again for another couple of weeks. Like, whereas now, that's probably why, like, you have a lot of young footballers, they're just, you know, positive, say, goal scoring strikers and real old school defenders, because there's no highlights package for old school defending. Yeah. Like, the highlights package of the fellas on the ball doing fun stuff on it. It's like, I want to be like that.
Delighted to have Owen Heary and Barry Murphy in the studio. Morning, lads.
Morning, how are you?
Keeping well. We were having a lovely discussion there off air. Call them mavericks in football. So again, give the lads your definition of a maverick.
Inconsistently brilliant. Their ups are more up than their teammates and their downs are below the average. So I was saying this to Brian Owen, and then you were saying, oh, it depends on your definition of a maverick. And you gave us an example.
Yeah. Well, I can't quote on radio, but someone who all week in training doesn't really care how they do, how they try and, you know, torn up plastic bag, boots in. And to me, that maverick was Cheryl. Unbelievable on the pitch. Great left foot and really torn a game.
Who's that full name for the benefit of the...
Tony Sheridan. Yeah, that played with me at Shells, but he was one of them players that you'd be losing the rag with all week. Like, this fella's not at it. This fella, you'd like to pull, you know, strangle him. That's being honest.
Yeah.
And then he'd torn up, probably wouldn't bring his boots, have a smoke or something before the game, and he'd torn up, and there's the boots, the kit man will hand him a pair of boots and shin guards. I've no shin guards. Anyone got shin guards? You get one off him and one off him, and he'd go out and turn around and be the best player in the park. And I'd be scratching my head after saying, I'm at the training hard all week, as best as I can, you know, focus on the game. And really, I'm really intense in the game, and he just turns up and just struts.
So would the lads be going mad at him in training and being like, what are you up to? Or would they leave him off because they know what's going to happen?
That's what he was. Just knew what he was like. You know, in training, he wouldn't run, wouldn't chase. The next minute, a ball comes to me, put in the top corner. And you're like, you can't coach that. Do you know what I mean? It's just, he has that natural ability. They just say, you know what, just let him do what he wants to do.
Barry, other League of Ireland ones, we said Joey and Dole, but you were saying, no, I don't think so.
No, Joe, like to me, Joe, he trained. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, he could turn it on, but he wasn't always the player that you'd say he's going to be the one that's going to make the difference today. Like, it was hard for him getting into the Shells team as well, ahead of Wezzo, Stewie Bourne, Jim Crawford, Alan Moore. Do you know what I mean? They're good players there, so they were all on the sort of same level. But when I say a player that it doesn't, basically doesn't give a shit about the game. Just owns up and just plays it.
Yeah.
That's Cheryl.
Paddy McCourt, I think, and Jay Gavin. I think I played with them when I was first coming through as a 17-year-old. They're like the Bash Brothers coming in training in the morning. Like, they're obviously going out for a few, I think, the night before, and we're still half cut in the mornings. But I remember coming in one time, like, in this, you know, those poles you put in the ground, they're kind of wobbly.
Yeah.
The two of them are trying to run between them, just smacking off each other. Roddy's just going, you two go home, will you? And then on a Friday, they score a hat trick, like some of the best goals you've ever seen. And these are the lads, you think, like, when you talk about Mavericks, that off the pitch do what they want, and I give them that little bit of leeway. Trevor Malloy as well is probably like giving them a little bit of leeway, but on a Friday just turn it on you. And as a player, you can't say anything because you're coming home with a win on a Friday, you know. So yeah,
we could talk about this all day. Just one comment to leave it on YouTube. C Fox Shane is saying John O'Shea was a maverick just for that chip alone against Arsenal.
But there was a great show on, I watched it on Netflix, it was in 2016. It was a mini series called Mavericks, and you had the snooker mavericks, Alex Higgins and these lads, Ronnie O'Sullivan of course, and the darts mavericks. But the football ones, I'm just looking back at the episodes they had in football. So they had Diego Maradona, they touched on Charlie Champagne Nicholas, Bruce Grobbelaar, Matt Letizia, Paul Gascoigne, Cantona and Paul Merson.
Georgie Best,
of course.
Georgie Best won it all.
Yeah.
Even if it was a short period of time. So he fulfilled his potential, because someone else, SOD, said, what's the difference between unfulfilled talent and a maverick? It's a fine line, I'd say.
Yeah.
Fine line.
We met Georgie Best when we were over playing the team in Malta, and he was just sitting there like, lounging, sun hitting him, and I think he had a match coming up or whatever. He's just sitting there, stones, not a bother to him. And I'm like, that's the life I want to have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mike Tyson in Wales.
Yeah.
We were playing over at TNS and we were just in a hotel, and myself and Chris, the other goalkeeper, in a room, and we had our music on, pumping, getting ourselves ready for the game. Knocking the door, two big lads standing at the door. You turn that music down, American accent. We're going, what? We're getting ready for a game. And split Mike Tyson standing there between us.
That's when not what I'm like. Yeah. Oh, we go down and sort him out.
Yeah, the Tigers behind him. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Right, now we went, I actually got his autograph. I gave it to Wes Houlihan. Wes was afraid to go over and ask for the autograph, and the two big burly lads are saying, no one's getting autographs. So I went over and said, look, any chance of the autograph for the young fella? And he said, Yeah, all right. Gave it to him. So there you go, Wezzo. Wezzo had his
own. Ah, class. So, yeah. What does Wez still have that? I'm sure he does somewhere.
He probably threw it away then. You know? Yeah, probably twice he went and asked for his autograph. Yeah.
It's on eBay somewhere. Yeah.